That. And just like that, once again, it's another edition of the Shooting USA podcast from the 2018 NRA's annual meetings. We're in Dallas, Texas, and we are at the Dillon Optics booth. This time, it's my distinct pleasure to welcome my friend and renowned match director and the head of the USSL, Pete Rensing. Pete, welcome. We are on the podcast, so we are hitting people through their radio.
Awesome.
We are on the video cast, so we are hitting people through the Facebook.
Even more awesome.
And we have so many interesting things to talk about. We started this conversation at SHOT Show this year
with
the beginning of the USSL and the UML. Now it's continuing to grow. Now it's time to take flight. I don't even know where to start.
There's so many questions. There's so many things going on out there, but it's a crazy roller coaster, and I'm having a good time with it. You know, UML, we were talking a lot about it at SHOT, and it's just blown up. It started so small at our little local club, and then clubs started jumping on board, and we sat down. You know, it was about 8 months ago. We sat down. We really grabbed a hold of it and started launching it, and that turned into such an awesome thing that we decided, you know, pistol matches, steel matches, rifle matches, let's bring it all together. And that's where the USSL all came about, and we're launching clubs all over the place. I just launched another one just a couple minutes ago.
Well, I just thought to myself, maybe I should explain to the people what UML stands for. That's United Multigun League, United Shooting Sports League. Is that correct?
Yes,
USSL?
Sir. Yes, sir.
So that is the acronym, and it is so much more than just another multigun league. This is the brainchild not only of you, but it goes beyond you. You have input from one of the greatest minds in multi-gun.
Yes, sir.
A close friend of both of ours.
Yes, sir.
Mike Voigt.
Yes, sir.
This is something that he, not necessarily groomed you for, but he has encouraged you to do. He's
yes.
given you the tools
yes.
to run and develop yes. into the person you are now in creating matches. And one of his last things to you was, make this happen. Go with this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, it was 9 years ago, and when I started the USPSA Multigun Nationals 9 years ago when Mike Voigt was president, and I started running matches, he actually said, he's like, there's no way you're going to do this for long. You're a great shooter. You're going to shoot. But I love it. I love designing the stages. I love everything I do. So over the course of like 4 years, we grew together, and we constantly talked about why there's so many different rule books in multigun, and is there any way to bring it together? And over the course of that time, we started the Surefire match together and the Safariland match together, and we've created these big matches that over 9 years I've evolved.
Right.
And I constantly listen to the shooters. I constantly listen to the match directors and what they need. And Mike just constantly said to me, you know, you can do this different and better than it's ever been done before because you have so much passion from both sides of it. And that was one of the things he always guided me was I shoot it to a fairly good level.
Yes.
I've got several national
highly
titles.
Competitive, yes.
I have a couple of GM cards. I'm highly competitive. So I listen to the shooters. I'm a match director. I've designed and built over 1,000 matches in 9 years, just a lot of club-level matches. So I've got both sides of it. And then so I'm friends with the shooters. I know the shooters. I know the match directors. I know the sponsors. And I'm listening to all sides and bringing it all into one thing. And if I could unite multigun and now some of the other styles that we're doing, we're actually mixing styles in the same stages at the same time. It's super cool. I feel like I got something I can run with, and I'm honored to do it, and I'm having a great time.
Well, others have come along. And the one that stands out and continues to run is the USPSA and their model. They're continuing to do their version of what was called three gun, it's now called multi gun. But then there have been others like Three Gun Nation and these other organizations, these other outlaw deals, if you will. This is not like that. This is focused within your model to be the new version of competition with long guns, shotguns, and pistols. And it's not just long guns in the form of center fire rifles. We're talking PCCs also. So I mean,
22 calibers. We brought 22 to the board. Almost all our rule books have it adopted. The 22, people to practice, people to come in, juniors, people maybe just have one and they want to play with it. But yeah, the big goal here is to bring it all together, bring a lot of things together. The motto that these other platforms, these other organizations have used, there's some super awesome successes in there, and I basically took a lot of the successes and evolved them, and then took some of the things that were not being successful and made sure we didn't go in those directions.
Right.
I've been a part of all of them. I helped out all the other organizations. I'm still a part of them. My local club's still going to run other organizations. I want shooting to grow as a whole. And if we could find a way to just get more people playing and having a good time, it's better for everybody.
Well, being accepting and being welcoming to any firearms platform, including the Rimfire, does so many different things for you. First, a guy doesn't have to go out and spend a bunch of money to get involved. Second, if the guy has some Rimfire guns that his kids might be comfortable shooting, now we can bring the kids into it. We've got the next generation.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. The thing that I'm kind of enjoying the most about it, and like you talk about the other organizations, and I think one of the things we're really trying to do is I'm on club tours. I go to North California a couple months ago, and I visit four ranges. And in the time I visit those four ranges, I'm teaching them about my stage designs. I'm teaching them about what they can do, how they can implement the rules, how they can cross two divisions or two leagues at one time on the same location. And I'm traveling around, and I'm reaching the shooters all the way at the bottom, all the way through the top. And unfortunately, a lot of times when you really start to try to attack an organization and grab a hold of the most flashiest part, which you want to film, it's the top shooters, which is a very small percentage of our sport.
Right.
And yeah, it's awesome to go film the multi-gun nationals. You come see my super squad and you watch them go and you're like, wow, that's awesome to watch. That's such a small part of the clubs out there in the country and trying to drag new shooters in. A lot of times you see that and you go, wow, I don't know if I can do that. But I'm hitting everybody. I'm attacking everybody. Every little club. Clubs that don't even have any multi-gun or pistol going on at their locations, I'm teaching them how they can, hey, just a small addition to this bay, a small movement here, add a brick wall here, and we can start running a match for you.
Right. It's an interesting thing, balancing the challenges. And we talked about this a little bit at this year's USPSA Nationals, where it's we have to be able to challenge the top guys in the world, the top 1%, but we also have to make it accessible and approachable for all of the rest of the shooters who fill out the roster of however many hundred people have shown up to shoot this.
Yeah, and that's a tough balance, and I actually had to learn that along the way. It was actually about 4 years I had been designing matches. Now, at this point, I'm shooting a lot, and I'm getting good. So I'm like, I got to test myself. I got to build the stages hard. And I remember I was out with actually one of my top guys, Jeremy Reed. He's on my team, but he's also like second command of USSL helping me out. And he actually, this guy actually, we were laying out a rifle stage. And I was like, oh, that'll be easy. We'll just put this here, with those positions. It'll be simple. And he looked at me. He's like, dude, that's simple for you, but that's going to crush your new shooters. Right. And all the shooters that are going to time out here, that's hard for them.
Right.
And we want to find a way to make them so. Fast forward to Nationals this year, we had three long-range stages that the bottom shooters, the newest shooter, never shot a match in their life, got through and said that was awesome.
Yeah.
We made the targets a little bigger.
Yep.
We still allowed Daniel and those guys to go faster, and they just blazed through it, and they were like, okay, well, I'm done with that.
Yep.
Whereas the new guy didn't time out.
Right.
And how bad is it? You're at your first match. You're laying there. You're going to war. Maybe your gun's not zeroed. Maybe you're kind of a little off on your trigger control. Who knows? And then the RO leans in and goes, stop.
Yeah.
And fails to engage a bunch of targets downrange.
The FTEs, rest of them is the worst.
And they're just stacking it. And they're like, here's your score, approve this.
Yeah.
That's not going to be great for anybody. So we're trying to find a way, like you said, to balance everything. And really, it's simple. If you can make it so that somebody else can do it without trying to challenge the top guy and cripple the lower guy, make it so that everybody can do it, the top guy's just going to do it faster.
Right.
I'm not holding him back at all. He just gets to, and what we found out at Nationals, maybe go too fast because I made the scenario look simple, if you will.
Yes.
Oh, I got this. And then whew, we watch Crash and Burns. We watch tons of Crash and Burns.
Well, that's what makes it entertaining for me is it. At that level, at that point, if you've made it approachable to all shooters of all skill levels, the best guys are going to do it lightning quick, and then they're going to look at each other and go, I need to take a chance here because I'm not going to win by more than half a second just doing it at my pace. I'm going to have to take a chance. If that pays off, great. If it doesn't, disaster. And that's an interesting thing. Another interesting thing that I know you do and I've shown the audience before is you have multi-gun classifiers. Stand and shoot all three guns, unloaded table, and stand and shoot them all so that you can tell a guy, hey, you're the top D shooter. You're the top C, B, A, master, grandmaster. So, you know, a guy in B who has a really strong match can compare himself to other people in his same skill set.
Exactly.
That's something that didn't really translate, unfortunately, in the other model, but it's going to work well in the UML.
Exactly. And we're the bottom 50% is rookies. Mm-hmm. And then we have our amateur ranks, and we have marksman sharpshooter expert.
Okay.
And that goes up to 80%. 80 to 90% semi-pro, 90 to 100% your pros.
Okay.
So we're able to do what we're calling qualification titles. It goes back to my roots. I'm a third generation Marine. So it was always like, who could qualify expert? That
right.
was cool. You know, I qualed and now I'm an expert, which is a title. So our QTs or qualification titles are just that. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to set it up so that now we can take a guy that's a sharpshooter or a marksman, just started shooting, award him some medals. We're doing challenge coins. We're doing
cool.
We're doing badges. We're doing all kinds of fun stuff. That guy can then be super excited about going to the next step match. I have people that tell me all the time, I don't come to your big matches. I'm not good enough yet.
Right.
I want people at all ability levels to want to come and experience a major. Come and experience a national level match, a territory level match, a big level four match. Watch those top guys. Maybe you're on an off schedule.
Right.
You know, shoot the morning and then go watch,
and then watch the
top
afternoon guys.
Yes. Let's get some people seeing what's going on and then asking questions and, you know, why is he running that gear and just more information to those entry-level shooters. I think we're losing that at a lot of the big matches, and a lot of the bigger matches aren't filling up anymore because there's too many shooters that you really, if you're not being awarded something, it's something USPSA does great with their classification, is you go to an area match, all levels are there.
Sure.
You go to a national match or you go to an outlaw match, only the top guys are there.
Right.
The other levels are only there because they're local. They can drive in from a few miles away.
Right.
But you're not getting people traveling, and I'm willing to change that. I'm going to change that. I'm going to get people coming to big matches, experience a big match atmosphere, come see what the sponsors are doing for us, shoot your guns, have fun, and you're the high sharpshooter of the match in TAC Optics.
Cool. That's super cool. And that means a good prize.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly the direction of the prize table.
We're talking change. There's another key change here in that you've developed your own target. You've gone away from the humanoid target, and that, I think, is a big step and to a certain extent a statement. Is that the case? How do you see that?
Yeah, ultimately, I mean, that was Mike Voigt, Travis Gibson, Craig Allen. A lot of people helped with that target.
Right.
And we argued it. We argued it for a while. Now, obviously, the hexagon comes from a little bit from MGM targets.
Sure.
Because of their hex logo. But we wanted a target that we figured out the more people shoot and the less they reset, the more they feel like they're hanging out with their buds. And that's what this
right.
sport's all about, right? It's getting together with your buds, getting on a squad together. You're stuck with each other
yeah.
for 4 or 5 hours on a squad. And we found that if we made reset faster, you get to shoot a little bit more, at least feels that way. And by doing that, we brought these targets in closer so they were quicker to tape, quicker to pick up.
Okay.
The further targets were self-resetting, targets right. of steel and things like that, the target was too big. the silhouette target, you know, a 6-inch by 11-inch A zone, you could pretty much anybody could double tap that thing at 3, 5, 7 yards and get a couple alphas. And the great shooters, the Michael Voigt said, bro, like this is you taking away some of the skill sets that some of the greater shooters possess
right.
by being able to go fast and slow down and tempo change. So it was like, all right, well, we got to change the target then. Because I'm not changing what we're doing. What we're doing is working.
Right.
People are loving it. So let's change the target. And so now our A zone is a 6-inch hexagon. And it's a 6-inch hexagon on top of a 12-inch hexagon C-zone, and those are both offset to the target.
Yes.
And then the D-zone is kind of hard to identify if you don't go up and look at it because of the offset, which was one of the things I changed. A couple guys didn't like it until they saw it, and they're like, all right, that's cool. Because now you really don't know if you got that alpha yet.
Right.
If you look at the overall shape and you get one right over there in the top left corners, you're
could
like,
could be a C.
Could be a C.
Right,
what should I do here? So, yeah, the target, now the target's across the board in all of our leagues. The backside of the target, we call it a penalty target.
Yeah.
And that penalty target is also in our steel league, so you can hide steel behind no shoots and put no shoots behind the steel and things like that. So it's fun. It's my target. It's
Are we
cool.
going to be scoring this single A to anywhere, or how are we planning to score this? Or are we actually scoring A, C, and D?
We actually have 3 different scoring models in our rule books.
Okay.
Okay, so your traditional scoring in the UML, and it's also in our rifle league, is to anywhere. And it still has those same values. So you get a failure to neutralize or a penalty target. It's going to be those 5-second penalties like
right.
we just experienced at Nationals.
Sure.
Miss on steel, 10 seconds. Now our expedition style has gotten much faster. The stages are faster. They're tighter. And those 10-second penalties are just massive. They're disastrous.
So, oh, yeah.
So we brought in the expedition scoring, which is 2 seconds for the failure, 4 seconds for the miss. And it's a much tighter, faster. It actually makes the competition really tight.
Yeah, no doubt.
We also have now implemented a scoring system where you score the alphas, the charlies, and the deltas just like you do in a pistol match.
Sure.
So our time factor scoring, it allows you in the rifle league and in the pistol league to go in and you score just like it, 2 alpha, alpha charlie, penalty target. Gotcha. Alpha Mike penalty target. Gotcha. So you score it the exact same way. It's super. It's seamless. Pistol shooters are coming over. My limited minor division is growing like crazy. It's amazing. We get 10 shooters in limited shooting their 40s. Right. I have 30-plus shooters shooting limited minor. They're shooting their three-gun guns. They're shooting their 9
gotcha.
Mils.
Yeah.
Shooting the gun. It's a little more fun to shoot, a little more affordable. Don't have to deal with that power factor, and they're being scored the same.
Right.
So it's fun for them.
Again, welcoming anybody with whatever firearms platform they have.
You got one.
To your model, which has essentially taken all these other models and polished all the rough places out. It's brilliant. There's another thing that I want to talk about that we've talked about before, and that is welcoming guys who have pistol caliber carbines. And how that plays in the form of the 2x4 division.
Well, and the pistol caliber carbine obviously has been being adopted into the other organizations.
Right.
And it's working to a certain extent. One of the things that's kind of on the bubble with us is overalls. And that's one of the reasons why PCC was so not readily acceptable or accepted in the pistol world is so many people saw the PCC guy climb to the top. And with overall scoring, it was kind of argumentative, like it's a pistol match. It's a rifle match. Well, no, we don't have the overall. We're welcoming everybody to come in, competing your division. If you're shooting PCC, you're shooting against other PCC shooters. Mm-hmm. The open pistol guys against open pistol guys, the production guy against production guns. Now, with multi-gun, we're able to bring the PCC in what we're calling 2x4.
Yep.
When we first launched, it was 2x4 open. Now we have a 2x4 tact division. Okay. And it was funny. I was just pulling qualification scores the other day for a local club in Utah, and there was like 10 2x4 opens and like 15 2x4 tacks.
Wow.
The more shooters at that match were shooting 2x4. So what 2x4 is you bring your rifle, your shotgun, your pistol, and your PCC. You just add it to your bag.
Right.
And, you know, I spent a couple years in Hawaii doing golf training, so it was kind of like, just add it to your golf bag, bro.
Sure.
And now when you get to the stage, you look at the stage, and you might choose to shoot PCC rifle. I may choose to shoot rifle pistol. Somebody else may have, you know, that crazy KL-12 dissident arm shotgun that holds, you know, 20 rounds, and they may go, I'm shooting pistol shotgun.
Right.
We all get to pick what we want. If you think about the most options possible, the paper target can be shot with rifle pistols, PCCs. It can, by the rules, be shot with slugs.
Right.
If it's allowed on that stage. And now you can pick which two guns you want, shoot all the stuff with whatever you want. How do you, there's no possible more options there is out there.
I think it's awesome. And I think for me, it's exciting as a producer to have the opportunity to ask a group of shooters, a whole squad of shooters, why'd you choose those two? What's different about this? What was the angle there? Watch and see if it works for them and break it down after the fact. As a guy who likes to shoot, I'm putting the PCC out. Anytime you say shoot your pistol, I'm running the PCC, dude,
right?
Just because it's a long-barreled pistol. I love that.
True
thing.
That.
So I've got all of this. I mean, this is something that I can't wait to bring to the audience. This is exciting stuff.
There was a couple discussions when we started that, like, oh, everybody's just going to shoot rifle PCC all the time. But
maybe
it's
not.
It's not true.
No.
And it's now because people can actually play to their strengths.
Right.
You know, before, it doesn't matter what multi-gun stage I put out there. And it doesn't matter if I tell you that there's options on that stage. If it was a shotgun pistol stage and there was some shotgun pistol optional targets, once you saw some of the best shooters shooting it a certain way, it's very common for everybody to kind of follow suit.
Right.
You go, oh, he did it that way. That's the winning time. So I have to do it that way to keep up.
Right.
And that's very normal in our sport. You a lot of times follow that GM shooter and you kind of do what they do. I've found now that people go, wow, that was awesome what he just did, but I can't do that with my pistol.
Right. Sure.
I'm not Nils Jonasson. I can't run a pistol that way.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and switch to that PCC. And all we do at the club level is we add maybe an extra dump, extra pickup. And at the bigger matches, we've been applying a motto of almost like 3 dump pickup per stage.
Okay.
So you get one at the beginning, one in the middle, one at the end. So now you can decide when. Not only do you get to choose to switch to that PCC, but you get to decide when in the stage.
Where do you want to put it? Where do you want to stage it?
You want to start it there? You want to start at the end? You want to start it here? I'm going to put out as many options as possible, and hopefully you have fun with it and maybe you hang yourself with it a little bit.
Who knows, right?
Who knows?
That's exciting.
Let it happen.
I mean, if folks are listening to this and thinking, this is something I want to do it. How do they find out more? How do they get involved?
Well, right now, ussleagues.com is our basic website. It gives you membership information. It gives you qualification title information, how those qualification titles are working, how we're pulling scores and bringing that all into play with all of them. We also have a UnitedPistolLeague.com, UnitedMultigunLeague.com, UnitedSteelLeague.com, which is where our all-shotgun division lies,
sure,
and United Rifle League. And United Rifle League, we're actually doing right now three different directions. We've got our close style, close quarters.
Right.
We have our mid, which we're pushing shots out to about 400. And now we're starting our long, where we're doing shots out to 800.
Okay.
And there's all this talk right now. We're actually, there's some stuff that's going to happen here that's not fully in play yet. And it's stuff that I helped Michael Voigt do, some PRS stuff.
Right.
That there's guys that are like, hey, let's go all the way to bolt guns.
Right, sure.
So, yeah, we're not stopping. We're going to keep evolving. And if people like what they're doing and they have some ways for us to keep growing, we're going to keep growing.
That's awesome. We had talked about a big event coming up next year that's going to be a gather at Pro Gun Club. Again, you've got a solid relationship with the people out there in Henderson, Nevada. If you haven't heard of Pro Gun Club outside of Las Vegas, I don't know what rock you live under, but get out there. It's amazing.
Shoot machine guns, blow up taxis, drive an off-road truck.
What do you want to do?
Sporting clays.
You want them to wet down the parking lot so you can power slide a Mustang or a Lamborghini?
Do.
I mean, it's forget about it, dude. It's Las Vegas. You bring the money. They've got any adrenaline-based entertainment you can think of. It's also the home range for all of these things that you're developing, including this big event that's coming next year.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a 100% name on it, but right now it's going to be the USSL Grand Nationals.
Okay.
And our biggest goal, and it's crazy for a lot of people to really comprehend yet, is if I could bring shooters to come shoot and compete in all four leagues.
Right.
So if they had some stages that were multi-gun. If they had some stages that were just pistol, stages that were just rifle, just your black rifle with shots out to 400, and all steel. And you think about, like, PCC, the ability to shoot PCC in all of our leagues. So you could shoot the multi-gun match, PCC only, go shoot the pistol with your PCC, go shoot the steel with your PCC, go shoot the rifle. Maybe some of the far shots you're probably not going to be able to get. You might have to switch to that 223 gun for that series. But if you shot, let's say, six stages of each, if you shot a 24-stage match, you competed in all four leagues, and you were the top guy in TAC optics or tactical, which would also consider the limited side. Open, all your open guns. There's discussion of the PCC only. Yeah, you were the top guy in all of it.
There's the potential for this to be a Grand Prix shootout. You come and win at the multi-gun. All right, good. Put your multi-gun kit away because today is pistol day. All right, you did well there. Tomorrow's rifle-only day. You know what I mean? That, I think, has an interesting ring. And you know, it may not be a guy who comes through and win. It may be a guy who's strong here, top five here, and others have to give him some help to get over on day three or day four. It'll be an interesting thing to look at.
And where that's coming from for me is you've got a couple different people that have tried to put on a world event.
Sure.
Where the top shooters, we've seen Jerry and Mike and Travis and these top guys, and we get Bruce Pike comes out and all these. But they have to shoot everybody else's guns.
Right.
And there's definitely a contingent of our shooters that prefer to shoot their own guns. And so it was always like, you know, we got to do one of those where they go shoot long range and they go shoot steel and they go shoot pistol, but let them use their guns. And we didn't have that motto. And now with USSL and having all four leagues, it's a vision. It's already mapped out. It's in play. It's going to happen in 2019. And it's going to be insane. It's going to be fun to watch.
That's the right answer.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you this right now. We know you will see it on Shooting USA. So stay tuned for that. But seeing it is one thing. Doing it is the other. There are going to be club-level matches in this format starting up as soon as how soon?
It's already happening.
There
so we've been testing and evolving some of this stuff at our local club. We already run multi-gun match with a pistol side match inside it. It's not a side match. It's a pistol match. The only difference is the pistol guys, if I roll the plate rack out to 50 yards and I put a bunch of paper in there and I put a few poppers, the only difference is the pistol guys shoot the poppers.
Right.
The multi-gun guys shoot the plate rack.
Gotcha.
So the pistol guys ignore the plate rack. Multi-gun guy shoots it down. It's all down. We don't pull the rope to reset it. It's out of play.
Right.
The poppers. Pistol guy goes through the stage, shoots all of our paper, shoots all the knockdowns, shoots all the poppers. Next shooter's a multi-gun shooter. Poppers stay on the ground. Knockdowns stay on the ground.
Up.
Next guy shoots it. So we're already evolving it. We're already evolving pistol matches with all rifle matches inside them, multi-gun matches with pistol inside them.
Right.
This year, I'm very honored to announce that this year we are doing a Mike Voigt Memorial pistol match inside the Safariland Expedition match.
Okay, cool.
And Safariland and Scott Carnahan, they came to me right away, and they said, hey, we want to do something awesome. Safariland was a big dream of his, and you know, things happened. He won't be with us this year. But we're going to be with him. In fact, they're making me shoot I'm going to be taking a step away from what I normally do my matches. I'm going to be putting my jersey on.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot the Mike Voigt Memorial Pistol match with the Safariland team. We're going to be shooting that match in the same stages that other people are going to be shooting the Safariland Expedition match.
I think that's good for you.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's a healing moment.
It's going to.
That's important.
Exactly. I'm going to bring out one of my guns that actually he built.
Yeah.
He built and gave it to me. You know, yeah. We built it together in his garage, crazy enough, in like a day.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring that gun out. We're going to go shoot the match. And we're going to be shooting a pistol match. Legit pistol match. Hard pistol match. That a lot of top shooters have always said. I got Nils Jonasson coming to shoot it.
Yeah.
So it's some top names coming to shoot this pistol match. And it's going to happen on the exact same stages that this big multi-gun match is going to happen. So that's the first time the public's really going to see it happen outside of my local club, and it's going to be fun to watch.
That's going to be super cool.
And I get to shoot.
We're talking about, you were telling me that while here in Texas, you're setting up local clubs here to run this. Where else?
Yeah, everywhere. I mean, we already have, we have four clubs in Texas. We're working on a fifth one right now. I think it just went well.
Yeah.
We're working on a major match that the USSL is going to hold here in Texas at the end of this year.
Okay.
With some people that have already run a couple majors. There's another major here in Texas we're discussing stuff with. So Texas is huge, but we've got clubs all the way to Florida. We have four clubs up in Michigan. I can't wait to go visit Michigan. I've never been there before. And my range master, Blair Cooper, who everybody knows, he's from there. He's like, you've got to go there and visit.
Yep.
We've launched clubs in Utah, California, Oregon, Washington State. We have three clubs in Washington State. I already put a brand ambassador. Evan Tischler is my Washington State brand ambassador. So I'm putting these guys in position so that they can go around and shoot all the matches in their district and help those guys out with questions, help those guys out with answers, help them pass out some cards, give them some stuff. So we're setting up shop everywhere we can.
Excellent.
It's fun.
It's all there. It's all on the internet. And that, my friend, is almost a half an hour.
Wow.
On this.
Really?
Have I hit all the points?
More than enough. But I can't believe how fun it is. I do a Facebook Live every Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Every Wednesday at 6 o'clock on the USSL Facebook page, we do Tawny and Pete Show.
Right.
Me and my girl get on there. And we thought we'd go for like 10 minutes.
Right.
And we'd see the numbers drop off. Every week for the last 2.5 months, it's an hour long, hour and 15 minutes. We're telling people we got to go. We've been on for an hour and 15 minutes. I'm dry because I need a drink. We've had people send us mugs with our names logo engraved on them. And we're doing this thing because people want the answers. And we're going to continue to do it every Wednesday, 6 o'clock, Facebook, USSL Facebook page. We do an hour long. And it's like we start and 5 minutes later, it's an hour. Like,
it's exciting.
Yeah.
It is exciting. Get a mind like this, start to check out how many people in the audience is done. But what's the story? This is the awesome. And I think they're having awesome. We'll have more from the 2018 NRA's annual meeting coming up.